Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. Hi there, it's Denise Eckert from the Relaxation Lounge. And I love coming on here and sharing different things to help you reduce the stress in your life. And today I have Maris Gebhardt, and she is drawing on 22 years of yoga, Ayurveda, psychology, philosophy, professional experience, and having struggled with her own bouts of anxiety. Maris is a very highly regarded and prolific teacher, thought leader, and expert in the field of corporate individualized meditation. So today we're going to talk about elevate from survive to thrive. So welcome, Maris.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, how did you get on this journey to help people with meditation?
Yes. Well, as it usually goes, I have my own personal story with anxiety. And so I have been looking for alternatives to medication to handle and heal myself. And so I leaned into meditation.
Now, how do you work with clients? Like, so someone is, if someone is experiencing anxiety or overstressed or burnout, what are the steps that you take someone through to help them with that?
Yeah. So as you mentioned in my introduction, I've been teaching yoga for 22, 23 years and practicing many times a week. And I know that these practices of breathing, dropping into the body, getting grounded and still while our mind runs amok are really great tools that we can actually sense and activate and turn on those active relaxation techniques. So that will then impact our mind, our physiology, our stress levels, our nervous system in a very tangible way.
Okay. And what are the benefits of doing meditation?
Yeah, I could talk for hours about this, but for myself, I started meditation because it was a safe space for me. I was in a really troubling relationship, and so I needed to have safe space, and I kept going there and going there and going there. Maybe it was 3 minutes one day, 5 minutes the next day, and over weeks and months and now years, I love to meditate a little bit longer. And I know that if I have a busier day or a stressful time in my life, I need to meditate longer. So the benefits are so many things. We downregulate our nervous system so that we can manage in a level-headed way, if you will, the stressors that life throws at us, right? Stress is always going to be a thing. And it's just our way of managing the stress that makes all the difference. So recognizing the perspective on, okay, this isn't the end of the world. No one's dying here. I am still well and good, but it's impacting my system. It feels personal, but in fact, it's just life happening, the energy around us happening, thinking of ourselves as a mountain and the storms of life happening around, but the mountain remains stable and solid and strong.
I love that. You know, because a lot of times when we are in stress and if we do take that step back, it's really not that bad. As you said, no one's dying, no one's running to the hospital.
Right.
Now, I love what you said as well, that it doesn't have to take long. Like you started with 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Now, someone just starting out with meditation, how would you recommend that they get involved with meditation?
Yeah, so great question, because it is so accessible. You don't have to be a monk and you can do it anywhere and anytime. I like to suggest as the very first thing you do in the morning to swing your legs to the edge of the bed. Don't stand up. Don't grab your phone. Don't start interacting and engaging with people. Just pause for 3 minutes. Maybe place your hands on your belly, feel your body, close your eyes, tune into your sensorial experience, what you're hearing, tasting, feeling, seeing, smelling, and then maybe even the sixth sense, right? What's going on inside of me right now? What am I worried about? And then just let the thoughts come and go and come and go and come and go without attaching, trying to figure out, analyze. They're going to come, right? And when we get still, that's when we notice them. When we're busy and doing and interacting, we're still having all those thoughts and you know, neurons firing. But when we get quiet, they get very loud. So our job is to just notice as a neutral witness, observing our mind with a bit of distance, like you're watching a movie. You're not of the mind, you're observing the mind. And then you have some more perspective, like you said.
Yeah. Now, do you recommend just doing it in the morning, or do you recommend it doing throughout the day or before bed?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Yeah. So the rule of thumb is before coffee and computers and before dinner and drinks. So twice a day, before you let the world kind of affect and decide how you're going to be that day, what your mood is going to be. And then before you, adulterate your system, if you will, best to steady yourself by starting meditation in the morning. I think of meditation as fiber for the mind. So when we eat fiber, our blood sugar doesn't spike and dip. When we meditate, we aren't swung so high on these exciting things and taken so low on the emotionally heavy, sad, taxing things. We can be more steady and fluid. Yes, we experience joy. Yes, we experience sadness, but it doesn't throw our whole system into topsy-turvy tailspin and cycle or spiral up or spiral down, right? Those are hard to recover from. So if we stay at the more moderated state, then we can experience these things and quickly toggle back to the midline. Yeah, and in the evening, they say it's a good time to do it because this is when we downregulate our nervous system from all the action of the day. And right, we have our thoughts, and those thoughts are ruminative, they're duplicative, and they have emotion attached to them. When they have emotion, that's what gets into our physical system and triggers physiological responses to the stressors. So if we can kind of clear that out, scrub it out, air it out, let it kind of be heard and the noise simmer down before we're hitting the pillow, then when we do lay down to sleep, we're just doing that sleep, not also processing the day and life, right? Because every time we meditate, we visit, you know, years of history and all the stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now when you are starting out meditation, is it best to start out with just sitting in silence, or do you recommend guided meditations? What kind of meditations?
Yeah. So they say, you know, if you ask your doctor, what kind of exercise should I do that's going to be good for my health? The exercise you're going to do. So the idea is just do it. I started by just sitting. I would walk my dog and then I'd arrive kind of at our turnaround point and sit in nature facing the east as the sun was rising with nothing. Today, I meditate with some healing mantra chants. So it's all in Sanskrit. And I just repeat these chants 108 times. Maybe one's about compassion, purification, sacred lovemaking, abundance, removal of obstacles. So I focus on these certain chants and I just do them over and over and over. And I'm counting on my hands. So my brain is given a job. The brain wants something to do. And you have to focus on saying the words properly and tracking the number. And so that's been a very helpful and grounding way for me to make sure I do the practice. And I can time the minutes. So I know that I'm getting at least 20 minutes, which is ideal. So that's what I do today. But any kind is good. If you're starting out, I would actually recommend guided. I have some really great teachers who have taught me. And so I aim to infuse my own life and teachings and experience and the truth that has emerged from within me, synthesizing all of those teachings, to guide people. And I love, love, love guiding. And even if you're experienced, guiding is helpful. And if you're starting out, guiding is helpful because our mind goes so fast and wanders off track. We need it to be ushered back in by some gentle words.
Yeah, exactly. That's a lot of times when I'm meditating, I need that. And I love that idea about the mantra and then counting. So you're not only saying something, you're also counting how many times. Can you give us some examples of the mantras that you use?
Yeah. So this one is very simple and really usable. And probably a lot of people listening to your podcast will have heard of it. It's just Om Shanti Om. Om Shanti Om. So Shanti is peace, peace, peace. And boy, especially right now in our world, we need peace. So we just repeat this Om Shanti Om 108 times. And the vibration in the body and just speaking and singing and chanting alone is one of the yogic practices, the eight limbs. It helps align our energy centers, otherwise known as the chakras, if you're in the yogic frame of mind study. But yeah, the chanting keeps me on track. And my mind goes wild. I definitely get through all my thoughts and stay on track. And at the end, I just feel, thank you.
Yeah, it's just getting all those thoughts out of your head and, you know, just having that sorting out process. Now, when someone is starting out, is there any, you know, certain place that they should meditate? I know it's usually best if it's a quiet place, but is lying down or sitting up, does it make a difference?
Okay, great question. So in the sequence of the yogic teachings, people practice yoga, the physical asana practice, for years and years and years and years to be able to sit comfortably so they may meditate. Now, maybe someone was meditating centuries ago and just invented the idea of a chair. So now we have a chair. So we can actually sit comfortably at a pretty early stage in our yogic and meditation practices. So I always advise to sit upright if possible, because we want to wake up the body and be alert. And so we're activating by pushing down through the base and rising up through the spine. We engage a bit of discipline and activity in the muscles and the firing. And this makes our mind more alert. And even though we're in a restful state, calling in rest for the prefrontal cortex of the brain. But whenever you're not in pain, right? If you're in sitting upright and this is causing agony to your body and it keeps gnawing at you and you're not able to rest the brain, then this is when we need to adjust our body physically. And so I might suggest lying down on the floor and resting your legs upon a chair or the couch seat cushion. To give your back some reprieve and to be horizontal. Now, the idea is not to actually physically fall asleep, but we do want to rest the brain and you get better than a 20-minute nap for restoration.
That's interesting. I've never tried the on the floor with the legs up. Now, since you did mention that you do a morning routine, could you just walk us through what you do in the mornings?
Yes, thank you. So it depends a little bit. I'm kind of house hopping at the moment. And so I'm staying with different people. The moment I'm staying with my sister. So sometimes I will wake up and immediately just turn on the chanting. And if the house is quiet, I'll sit in my bed and chant with the music on low. Or I get up and do a big stretch to face east and open my arms and say, thank you for a beautiful day. And then I immediately go and brush my teeth so we can scrape off the ama, the toxins that have emerged in the nighttime when we're detoxifying the best off my tongue and off the roof of my mouth, brushing, brushing, brushing. And then I do 2 tall glasses of warm water with apple cider vinegar in them. It's not necessarily an Ayurvedic practice, but it is really good to cleanse the liver. We have an insulin resistance epidemic in our world right now. And so anything we can do to help our organs heal and serve and, you know, act properly in our bodies, what they're intended to do, then we can stay physically healthy and keep our inflammation down. So the warm water being an Ayurvedic practice, right? So it's not so cold for our system to digest. We can immediately absorb it. And then sometimes, recently I've added a couple teaspoons of olive oil first thing. And then I typically intermittent fast until about 10 a.m. I don't put a stop on when I stop eating the night before, but I always aim to not eat at least until 10 a.m. And then...
What's your reasoning behind that?
Intermittent fasting is very healthy for the organs. They say fasting is the highest form of medicine. So if we have extra sugar in our diet, which is found everywhere, if you eat anything with a package, then we need time for our system to clear out and to be able to have that insulin take up the glucose in the bloodstream effectively and do its proper job so that we can keep our bloodstream and our blood sugar normalized. I did mention, but before I eat breakfast, I do a workout. So either a exercise form called The Class. So it's just on video. It's either on demand or digital classes live. And beautiful system of emotional release therapy. So you're on a yoga mat, but you're not doing yoga and it's not Zumba, But you're doing a lot of movement that's intense and it hurts and it's uncomfortable and you get your body moving and you're listening to some nice music that are pretty intense with the, exciting music that gets your energy level high. And so I love to do that. And then typically I'll meditate after that. If I don't wake up and do it first thing, with the chanting in my bed. And so again, finding a comfortable, as you said, quiet place, ideally facing just not south. I always try to face a little bit east, but not south. And then sitting on something that's white and wool keeps the energy from dropping down and out of us and kind of rebounds back up. So we have upward lifting energy as we're relaxing and grounding. Boom, 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 boom. So it kind of drops down and back up through our system again.
Yeah, I love doing the morning, sort of the morning routines. So now at what point would you get on your email or get on your phone?
Yeah. So I do scan through the phone. They say to not look at anything for about the first 90 minutes of being awake. I'm still working on that one because, you know, it impacts us, right? And it affects our nervous system. This is a known thing, social media, email, stress, impacting the world coming in. So I try to have a nice frame of mind when I do start to scan through the emails, have some breakfast. I mean, I'll start maybe 9 or 10 in the morning, getting to the work, yeah. The desk work. The work really is the 5 to 9, right? What we do in the evening, all through the night and into the morning. And then the administrative stuff is just a byproduct of our 5 to 9 that we do 9 to 5.
Okay, so we're going to start wrapping this up. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience today?
Thank you so much for asking. And it's just really been a delight to get to visit with you. I don't know. I just say keep going. And really, when you feel the tendency to fidget and reach out and habitually try to find something to soothe you on the inside, this is the instant of awareness that we need to drop into the body, pause, and wait out that uncomfortable moment. If you can just wait it out for about 90 seconds, you'll completely rewire your brain. So we're in a society where we are always seeking something from the external to soothe the internal. And the more we can sit in the stillness with the grumpy, grippy, gugh, that is really going to train, elevate, soothe your entire system, and ultimately your entire life.
Yeah. Now, do you have anything to offer to our audience today?
Absolutely. Yes. Please check us out. I'd love to invite anyone to be a guest on any of our 10 live group sessions we do every week with a new fresh theme. This week, our theme is drive plus distraction equals right direction. So we are always told that, oh, distraction is such a bad thing. Well, distraction, if it's like immediately a reactionary, oh, squirrel, shiny new thing, this kind of distraction is disruptive. But when the distraction is coming from within, where we're moved towards our bliss and we're curious and it's lighting up our soul, then this kind of distraction attached to our drive forward, we're just naturally forward moving beings. This will inform the right direction in our lives. And so, yes, anyone is welcome to join us on our 10 live group sessions a week. And they can reach us by emailing me, Maris, M-E-R-I-S, like Sam, at opulentmindfulness.com. Or check out the website and I'll send you a link to the schedule.
Great. And yes, I will be putting all her information into wherever you're watching or listening to this. Well, thank you so much for your time and your amazing knowledge today. Thank you, Maris.
Thank you, Denise. Have a great rest of the day.
Yes, and thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.